Oh, that's right. I'm Ann Eller right back here with you, and we do have Monica Wofford with us. She is an internationally known leadership development expert and author of a couple of books. The one we're actually kind of going to be talking about is Make Difficult People Disappear. I love the title, and it's my very great pleasure to introduce to you Monica Wofford. How you doing this morning?
Oh, fantastic. Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Absolutely. I tell you what made you decide to write a book about making difficult people disappear?
It's a great and frequently asked question. I actually spent a lot of time throughout my life being accused of being difficult and therefore trying to change who I was or suppress who I was, which just made the problem worse. So I did a good bit of research and 25 years of experiential learning and decided I would help folks get rid of some of the labels they're given, but also the stress that creates the behavior that gets the label.
You know, one of the things that is so difficult today, particularly in business situations and employee-employer relationships, is what is appropriate and what is inappropriate to say.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, you just wonder if you're an employer, and I am an employer, and you just wonder, you think it through in your brain about five times before you say it because you're so afraid of offending or, you know, that they'll get pissed off or, you know, what'll happen.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So what do you do?
And I think what you're about to ask is what do you do?
Right, yes, what do you do?
Well, all those thoughts that go through our brain and the time we spend thinking and thinking and thinking to make sure we don't tick someone off or create a conflict, it's all about what are we thinking about. And there's a couple of things that would be important to keep in mind. One is the recipient of your message, whether it's a complaint or feedback or insight or a question, who is the person to whom we're asking or sharing this information? Are they analytical? Are they much more driven, get it done sort of preference? Are they really more about the social aspects of a relationship? Are they looking to get appreciated? Or frankly, are they so conflict averse that they're just looking to get along? If you understand that at a minimum, it then changes what you think about, and it's not so focused on fear of ticking them off, but strategies on how to meet their needs so they understand what you're asking.
Okay, Monica, that sounds great in practice, but that takes, if you have 10 or 15 employees working with you, or just, you know, friendships. I mean, it doesn't have to be employees. I mean, we can have friendships. You can spend
you
a lot of time.
All have a life?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Analyzing all these situations, sometimes I would think it would be better, who wants friends here? It's too much work.
Yeah, it can be a little crazy-making if you make it real complex. We have a tool that simplifies a lot of these things, and it's one of the tools is in the book, Make Difficult People Disappear. There's a comprehensive version that they take online, and we then facilitate the results. But then there's a tool that's very easy to use. It's 18 questions. It'll help simplify a lot, and we use it in all of our training classes. In fact, it's contagiouscompanies.com/core, snapshot. And this simple two-page device, you just fill out 18 questions, helps you understand who you are, and then based on the additional description, gives you quick and easy insight into who you might be dealing with. At the end of the day, it's referred to as emotional intelligence, and while we think it may be very, very complex, gosh, it's like having the keys to the kingdom. When you understand who the people are that you're dealing with, many times they are no longer difficult, because people really become difficult only when we expect them to be different than what they naturally are.
So, as usual, it all comes down to understanding how to communicate.
There is a lot of value in that statement. You are a brilliant woman.
Guess that's why I'm in radio, Monica.
Absolutely. Your brilliance is shining through. It is that communication understanding. And you know, we teach leaders all day long how to be better leaders, but also a key part of that is how to communicate more effectively. We call it contagious communication because everything we do rubs off on other people, friends included.
Yes.
But when you're communicating with others, gosh, consider who you're talking to, but also raise the comfort in your own skin about where you're coming from, because we all operate from our own natural bias about who we are and how we like to do things and what we need.
Sure. So, you know, one of the questions that you had down here that I found kind of interesting, what words should you stay away from? Is this just specific to you, or in general, what words are good to stay away from?
That's a great distinction. We could add that layer of complexity and make it specific to each individual party you're talking to, those 10 to 15 employees, if you've got some that are get-it-done oriented and how they're motivated, then the words you want to stay away from are, well, let me give you 500 details before I ask you a question. Let me explain the process of how this works, because the get-it-done people couldn't care less.
Right.
They're all in their head saying, well, what do you want me to do about that? But the people who are more oriented toward getting along, they're more laid-back, trustworthy, loyal, empathetic, amiable sorts of individuals. We call them relators. But then you want to avoid things like sharp, caustic, accusatory language. You want to avoid things that sound like you're about to incite a conflict, because they would rather run around three blocks of a school bus and a grocery store to get away from you if you're going to start a conflict. Yet, in general, you also want to avoid accusatory language, you always, which we call extreme language, any of those words that lump together 15 years of behavior into one moment or one transaction. You know how well it works when you tell your spouse, you never do thus and such. Yeah, that goes over real well. Those kinds of things I would avoid rapidly. And then also avoid things that give them no out. If you're going to complain or going to work with a difficult person, in your mindset, you want to be careful not to back them into such a corner that they have no choice but to respond to you in a defensive fashion, because that doesn't serve any purpose for anyone.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I think it's very interesting, because I think it always emanates from it's the boss's problem. But so many times I have found in my years and years and years and years of being in business is that it's the employees that try to back the employer into the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
you're right. We spend a lot of time pointing our finger at other people, and that's sort of a universal condition.
Sure.
But when you're doing that, you've given them a label, and you've said, well, my boss is difficult. Well, you know, that's fine. Your boss is likely just different, and I don't mean, aw, aren't they special, bless their heart, kind of different. I mean, truly different.
Where are you from, Monica? Are you from the South? That's what we say down here.
I am. I am originally from Texas. I can pull off, bless your heart, along with God lover.
Yeah, there you go.
At a higher level.
Yeah, why is it that in the South we can be pleasant to your face and then turn around and say, did you see what she was wearing?
Oh, honey, we'll give that girl a pie and then talk about how much she is too overweight. I mean, it's hilarious what we do in the South, but yes, I hear you. In the South, we have a different set of protocols.
Exactly. You think you've done so well till they turn their back on you, and then you go, what happened here?
So when you look at these labels, whether they are from the South or from the North or from, you know, whatever.
Sure.
When you label someone, physiologically, and we know this from neuroscience and research by people far smarter than I, do you then start looking for confirmation that you were correct? You see, we don't argue in our head with our own data. So once you say, my boss is difficult, your brain then seeks out ways to confirm that you're right. And so what you're all looking for all the time are any behaviors that might deviate from your definition of the right way to do things. So be careful with that label and the blame, because really it comes back to do more damage to you than to them.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, this is fascinating stuff. The name of the book is Make Difficult People Disappear, How to Deal with Stressful Behavior and Eliminate Conflict. Now, does this deal with all aspects of our lives? I mean, is this good for the everyday person that just feels that they could use some help with this type of help?
Absolutely. The book is written as a story, and it encompasses the main character, whose name is Sybil, if that tells you anything about the personality focus of the book. But the story walks through her personal life and professional life. So it's an easy read, immediate applications to work, and also immediate applications to home. In fact, one woman told me on Amazon when she read it and then reviewed it on Amazon that she just put it on her dining room table, hadn't even opened it yet, put the book on her dining room table, and her husband's difficult behavior suddenly disappeared.
Does that have so power? Does that have power?
Yes, it did. Certainly just owning it will do you some good. But own it, read it. If you want an autographed copy, go to MakeDifficultPeopleDisappear.com and click the little icon on the right that says Give the Book as a Gift, because we all deserve to give ourselves gifts.
You are absolutely right. Well, that is fantastic. I think that that we all could benefit from how to make difficult people disappear and to understand our own selves and how we set ourselves up for these type of situations.
Most definitely. That's the feedback that we get. People find it highly valuable. And it was a pleasure to write, and I continue to go back to using those skills and talents and techniques even for myself. So even as the author, I still use those techniques, so I would highly recommend it. You're a dear.
Has anybody, have you ever said, you need to read my book and given it as an autographed copy to somebody?
I have. That is, my eyes smiled so very southern and charmingly and handed them a copy of the book and said, you might find some value in this.
Bless your pea-picking heart.
Bless your pea-picking heart.
Well, Monica, it's been an absolute delight to have you on the air with us here today, and I might be calling you. I have an idea on something. So thanks so much for calling us this morning. The book is How Make Difficult People Disappear, Poof! How to Deal with Stressful Behavior, Eliminate Conflict. Monica Wofford, thanks so much for calling us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. I look forward to talking with you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye. Right, yes. Well, how does that sound? Yes, how to make difficult people disappear. Yes, how to deal with stressful behavior and eliminate conflict by Monica Wofford. Glad we had her on the air this morning. She does work with CSP, internationally known leadership development expert, and she has a company called, she has a website, contagiouscompanies.com. ContagiousCompanies.com. Sounds like she'd be a lot of fun to have in a conference.